the theme to the new Bond film, No Time to Die, which was scheduled to be released in the United States on April 12th. And Richard Roper's about to tell us that that ain't going to happen now, is it?
No. It has been pulled from theaters. Really rare for a film of this, you know, this magnitude, this huge of a film, for it to be pulled from theaters. Not pulled from theaters, but pulled from the scheduled release. It's all about the fears about the coronavirus, of course. And that's Billie Eilish. I hope she's still relevant by the time the song comes out, these kids today. I'm sure she will be.
But they're talking about a November release.
They're looking at a November release right now for No Time to Die. I mean, you can't help but note the irony of a title of a movie called No Time to Die, and it's not the first, but it's the biggest in a series of, and obviously there are more important aspects of this, but the entertainment business and the industry is really being roiled by this in more ways than one. If you look at, for example, Mulan, which is the live-action reboot of the Disney classic, which is from Disney. Now, that's scheduled for a March 27th release in North America, which is still on, but it's already been canceled in China. Along with a lot of pretty much every theater in China has already been shut down, movie theater we're talking about, not to mention theme parks, et cetera, have been closed since late January, I believe.
Now, that's going to cost a huge amount of money to the studio, right?
Tremendous amount, because, you know, like, and I think
Mulan is huge in Asia.
Yeah, and it's, wow, this is a, you know, a hugely anticipated film. It's PG-13 live action, so it was really supposed to be something, and we'll still see. I'm not sure, and I don't know. I don't have inside information to tell you that Disney won't release it here in the States on March 27th. I wouldn't be surprised if they held on to it, because let's say it didn't do great business, which I think it will, but let's say it didn't do great business in the States opening weekend. They wouldn't be able to point to the surefire. They were guaranteed it was going to make probably $400 million globally.
On
the opening weekend. And, you know, a lot of times you'll see that with these big action movies and tentpole type films, where the studio will be able to say, listen, well, you know, yes, it only, quote unquote, made $38 million or $47 million here in the States, but worldwide it made $300 million. It's a huge global hit. You don't get to put that spin on things or point the big picture out if there is no big picture to point out.
So this, they've already made this decision about April 12th in the United States.
For No Time to Die,
for the James Bond movie, that they're pulling it from release on that date. They're pulling it from release. It's going to go a week earlier in London. There was going to be a gigantic where the royal family was going to be at the premiere. I mean, it's a crazy thing. I don't think Meghan Markle was going to be there, but everybody else in the royal family was supposed to be there. It seems that this is the kind of indication of economic slowdowns that are the ones that have been roiling the markets, too, because all of a sudden the theater exhibitors now are going to get hit, because movies are not going to be released, and they're going to be sitting on movies for 2 weeks, even if the coronavirus isn't a gigantic thing here.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And in the case for, you know, No Time to Die, you think about, as you mentioned, Ro, tens of millions, if not, you know, nine figures have already been spent on the marketing for that film. Everything from, as you mentioned, the London premiere, Daniel Craig, the host of Saturday Night Live. You and I had already we had locked in an in-person Chicago interview with one of the major stars of the film that was going to take place next week, which I should let you know right now on the air. That's not going to be taking place, Rob.
We're
not going to get that particular. Well, I mean, hopefully we'll be able to do it down the road. And these are relatively smaller things, but yeah, the ripple effect, and unfortunately, for a lot of the theater owners, that profit margin isn't that huge. When you start losing, they depend on these big blockbuster movies. And you know what's going to happen here. It's not going to happen with No Time to Die. It's not going to happen with Mulan. But I guarantee you, there are a lot of studios right now looking at mid-size and even Oscar bait type films, saying, maybe we should rethink this, maybe put it in one theater or two theaters in New York and L.A. and talk to some of our streaming giant friends about a new partnership and get these movies out. I wouldn't be surprised if you see that in the months to come, where you're going to see some pretty big movies almost exclusively debuting on streaming platforms, because the reality is, for a lot of people, they're going to go, well, we could stay home.
Right.
And we could watch Netflix or Disney Plus,
this is the best
or
thing
Apple
ever for
TV
Netflix.
Plus or Amazon Prime, I mean, or HBO. All these other, you know, types of platforms, and just watch the movies that way.
All right, Richard Roper, we'll talk about the movies that are in the theaters that people are now worried about going to, coming up right after we check in with Kim Gordon. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right, Richard Roper is in. Oh, wait, hold on. Before we do that, I must tell you something.
There's some important stuff to tell us, please.
March is truck month over at Apple Chevrolet in Tinley Park, and they're packed to the gills with the 2020 trucks, and they're pricing them to go. Right now, qualified buyers are going to receive 0% APR for 72 months on the all-new 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab. That's 6 years at 0% APR. You're going to get $500 cash allowance when you finance a GM Financial. And we all know the Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size truck on the road. Chevy Silverado's Drive Mode Selector lets you select tow and haul, snow and ice, or off-road to match any condition. So if you've been thinking it's time to upgrade your truck, get over to Apple Chevrolet. You're dealing with the Time Magazine National Dealer of the Year, John Alfirovich. Plus, Dustin Hightower, Randy Ramos, and all the folks at Apple Chevy are the best in the business. You can trust me on that. You're going to love the entire experience. You can trust me on that as well. Apple Chevrolet, 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park, or applechevy.com. Find new roads.
Tonight, priceless home movies lost, maybe forever. How to make sure it doesn't happen to you. WGN TV investigates tonight at 9. Speaking of movies, look who's here, guys. Richard Roper.
Thank you. Are you auditioning to be the booth announcer for the show?
I am, yeah. I'm just entertaining myself over here in the sports department.
Very much. And the Price is Right. I see Kev holding his hand to his ear like Gary Owen, like back in 1968.
Wow, that's interesting.
That was good, yeah.
The kids are...
Brillo, for all your cleaning needs.
The kids have been sent to their room. Yeah. Is exactly what
Brought
happened.
To you by Taster's Choice.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm so bored. You should come on down.
God, whole other thing going on.
There. All right, yes. Let's talk about the movies that are coming out this weekend. And we just announced No Time to Die. If you didn't see this earlier, the James Bond movie that was coming out in about 5 weeks has been postponed because of the coronavirus internationally, because it was going to be a gigantic internet. These things make $1 billion internationally.
Yeah. So Daniel Craig hosting Saturday Night Live this Saturday. So I'm sure they're furiously rewriting some skits as we speak.
Oh, man.
Or maybe just seeing if John Mulaney's available again.
Right. You can't go wrong there. All right. The Banker.
Let's talk about The Banker. This is interesting. Folks might remember we talked a little bit about this film last November. We talk about all these streaming services that are becoming players. Apple Studios, their film studio branch, essentially, this was going to be their first feature-length film. It's a classic kind of Oscar bait story. It's based on the true story of two African-American entrepreneurs, one who is from the Deep South, one from Los Angeles, who were really starting to gobble up pieces of Los Angeles real estate and reselling things and buying banks. Were brilliant businessmen, but had a lot of trouble getting through the door when it came to getting loans from traditional white investors. So they found a white guy and trained him basically to be their doppelganger and go in and he'd get the loans and everything, but they were really the masterminds behind it. Fascinating story that eventually got into some trouble, but they also were credited with changing some housing practices, which led to legislation, you know, in the late 60s. The movie was pulled before it could hit theaters because the son of the Anthony Mackie character was a producer, credited producer on this film, and his sisters, who would be the children also of the Anthony Mackie character, talked about allegations of sexual abuse and said, this guy should not be producing a film. This film is not true to events. You're not even talking about his family life. So they pulled it. Now it's coming to theaters March 6th, and then it's going to be on streaming platform. With all due respect to that, the story is about these two guys, and like every other biopic ever, whether we're talking about something like Green Book and there was controversy there, it's a fictionalized story of it. And as such, it's really very entertaining because it's basically done like a heist film. You got these two guys who know all the ways to make a lot of money but need a white guy to front the operation.
Think about all the good we can do for the community.
Taking it to the man.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
And just how in the hell do you plan on pulling that off?
We get Matt to front for us.
You want me to what?
Be us to the rest of the world.
I don't know anything about banking. I don't know how to buy a bank.
We'll teach you everything you need to know.
Whole country's talking about how two Negroes managed to buy two banks full of white folks' money and loan it to other Negroes.
You should have known you couldn't keep this a secret very long.
FBI, you're under arrest.
A black man tries to bring other brothers up. That's intolerant.
Wow.
And you can certainly recognize Samuel L. Jackson along with Anthony Mackie there. And it's interesting because it's a PG-13 movie. So Sam Jackson gets to use the F word only once and then actually has to say friggin' and effing. But I really like it. Three solid stars for the film. As I said, I know there's controversies around it, but that's really in terms of whether or not you should see this film. It's a very, in a lot of ways, very traditional film where you've got the anti-heroes, you got the snarling bad guys, and you have some, you know, valuable social lessons about life in Texas in the 50s and 60s.
And it's called The Banker. Called The Banker. Where are you going to see it?
It's in theaters, right? It'll be in theaters starting Friday. It'll get a 2-week window in theaters, and then it'll be on your, if you're an Apple TV Plus subscriber.
Yes.
Which, by the way, and I've talked to a few people about this recently, you might have an Apple TV Plus subscription and not know it, because a lot of times if you bought a phone or renewed a plan or something like that, so look into that if you don't know if you have it or not. You might already have it. Look into it.
I bought it. I bought them all. I pay more money for my television now, just to fuel my television, than I did for like my first apartment. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I think all of us, if we sat down, there are ways we could probably trim the bill. And
I just don't know how.
Because I know when I'm clicking around, you'll come across a big-time movie like, you know, Avengers Endgame, and then two clicks later, you're getting Avengers Endgame in Spanish, and then you're getting Avengers Endgame in Chinese, and I probably don't need the other versions.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know how you do it.
Three stars for The Banker.
Okay. Let's talk about Spencer Confidential, speaking of streaming, because Mark Wahlberg and Peter Berg, who have they have gotten together on Deepwater Horizon and Patriot's Day and Lone Survivor, Mile 22, all really well-done films.
Yes,
right?
Yes. They have teamed up for a lot of these movies. I mean, Peter Berg is an actor-turned-director. He did the movie of Friday Night Lights and then the TV show. So if you know that kind of, he always has the camera moving about, very stylish, very cool. And three of the four films you mentioned were based on serious real-life incidents. One, you know, the Boston Marathon, Deepwater Horizon, Lone Survivor was a military film. This is pure fiction. Some folks out there might remember a 1980s series called Spencer for Hire. Remember Robert Urich and, I can't remember his name. But it was based on a series of novels by Robert B. Parker. So he was kind of this urbane detective, right? Well, this is based on the same character, but it's completely different because it's a Mark Wahlberg, Peter Berg movie. I love this film. It is completely ridiculous. It's super violent. It's the most Boston movie you're ever going to see. There's like a cop Irish bar named Slancha, which is like the Irish, you know, health toast. There's a bagpipe scene. There's a Sweet Caroline Fenway Park scene. When he gets in a bar or prison brawl, you get Long Time by Boston on the soundtrack. It's just a mishmash. And he basically, Mark Wahlberg plays a good cop who gets sent away for beating up a bad cop because he almost kills the guy. And he comes out of prison and he sees that another cop is being framed. So he's going to investigate corruption, widespread corruption, including involving not only certain cops, but a gang of machete-wielding bad guys who wield machetes only because it looks different in a movie than just have them have guns.
It's time you tell me what's really going on here.
Picture this. 30 cops, drug cartels, some big politicians all working together. When I was a cop, I was trying to take these guys down. But they framed me.
So what's the plan?
We're gonna blow this wide open. You want in?
No. You don't get the cold gun.
Hawk is the name of a man with a shotgun. Spencer does your taxes.
That was good. I'm going to let you have your little gun.
Now, this is going to be released on Netflix on Friday.
Yes. Yes. And Winston Duke is the sidekick here, who's in there with Mark Wahlberg. Avery Brooks played the sidekick back in the TV series. And it is very violent. But even though it deals with some serious issues, it's more of a comedy. It's an action comedy, which Mark Wahlberg does. His mentor is Alan Arkin, who I believe...
the best.
He's so great, but he's always looking off screen while delivering his lines. I'm fairly certain they had to have cue cards for him at this point, which is so much fun to watch because he clearly doesn't care. And they just... And then he's got... Mark Wahlberg has a... Post Malone, by the way. I know you're a big fan of all of his work. He's making his movie
tattoos
debut
especially.
In here. There's a character in there that plays his on and off girlfriend, Mark Wahlberg. And at one point, he asks her what she wants for lunch, and she says lobster. But she says, you know, four expletives around the lobster. You're going to give me a whole effing lobster. And then they literally, for the first time in my life, I've never seen this, they cut to the restaurant, and the giant graphic on the screen says lobster, L-O-B-S-T-A-H, letting us know that they did go out for the Lobster. And Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith is playing on soundtrack at that point.
There you go.
Another Boston
it's all
band.
Boston.
Three and a half stars for Spencer. Confidential.
All right, we got less than a minute to talk about Onward, but you don't need that much time, do you?
Yeah, unfortunately, and we talked about it at length last week, and it's, to me, out of the 22 major Pixar films, it's the 22nd best or the least good. It's not horrible because it's Pixar, but it's a very strange story about two young boys who reanimate the bottom half of their dead dad and then drag him around like Weekend at Bernie's, trying to get the magic skull crystal thingy that'll give him the second part of dad's body from the waist up. And
well, I mean, but they had with a similar kind of contraption for a script, Coco was a great success.
Yeah, which dealt with afterlife issues, and I thought, actually, I was stunned by the issues it got into. I thought it did it brilliantly. And you know, listen, Disney Pixar, there's almost always somebody's dead. You know, somebody's dad or mom is dead, and they deal with serious issues. This one, to me, it's just like the road trip they go on and everything. We've seen it before. The animation looks great. It'll do big business. You know, look, you want to take your kids out to the theater.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it affects the box office.
Fascinating. And then watch the Dow take... Well, I don't want to predict. Richard Roper, thank you very much. He's reviewing the movies right here on The Rob Khan Show, which returns with Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.
Inside Facebook, the tricks they use to get your attention. Our social media nerd reports after the 7:30 news. Talk to you in the morning.
Bob Surratt, Radio Chicago, WGN.